Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today's gospel lesson is known as the parable of the talents. There's a master of a house. He's going on a trip, and so he gives talents, or sums of money, to different servants. Two of the men take their talents, or their sums of money, and invest them, and they double the return. So when the master comes back, they don't just give him the talents they receive, but they give him the new talents that they've also acquired. Then there's one man, he receives one talent, and he is afraid of his master. He thinks the master is a mean, ruthless master. So he buries the talent, thinking if I lose the talent, he's going to be so mean to me. So he buries the talent. When he comes back, he gives back the one talent to his master. Why does Jesus tell this parable? Well, Jesus is the man who is the master of the house. Now, he's not a mean, ruthless guy. That's not the point of the parable. But he endows his servants with talents, and he expects them to use them in his kingdom. The two who invest them and get a return, he commends. The one who buries them and shows no return, he condemns. This parable is about being faithful and fruitful to Jesus' calling of being his disciples. Being faithful and fruitful with the mission that he's given to us, his church, while he is gone, so to speak. Not gone, but ascended, bodily in heaven. And while this parable is really not speaking about investing money, today I'd like to suggest it is talking about the topic of investing. Not money, but in an indirect way, it does speak to investing talents, our spiritual gifts, that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has endowed each of us with for his kingdom. That's right. God has endowed each of us with spiritual gifts for service in his kingdom. So I'd like to take a moment, and I'd like you to reflect this morning and consider, what are the spiritual gifts God has given to you? Reading? Writing, translating, drawing, working with your hands, creating, destroying. Sometimes rotten old things need to be destroyed. Cleaning, counting, categorizing, baking, cooking, mending, jumping, throwing, flying, building, hauling, listening, talking, thinking, watching, consoling, encouraging, singing, playing, coaching, teaching, lifting, gathering, laughing, smiling, hugging. Why are you asking about such things, Pastor Hainer? These are not spiritual gifts. These are earthly or worldly gifts. Yeah, they may be God-given, but they're really not that important. And that, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is a response we often have. It's a problematic attitude that we as Christians have regarding the spiritual, yes, the spiritual gifts that God endows each of us with to serve in his kingdom. You see, the problem is we think spiritual gifts are only gifts that give God's grace. Gifts that forgive sins. Now, I want to be clear. It is certainly correct to regard God's grace in Jesus Christ and the means of grace by which he gives Jesus Christ, baptism, the preaching of the word, the receiving the Lord's Supper, as spiritual gifts and as the most important spiritual gifts, because they do forgive sins and they do give eternal life. But the problem is, we see these as the only spiritual gifts. They're not the only spiritual gifts. As if God gives other gifts that are not important or just earthly or not spiritual. God's word does not distinguish gifts from God as spiritual or non-spiritual, as spiritual or earthly. But actually, the Bible says in the book of James, all good gifts are from God, the Father of lights. God's word does distinguish the purpose for different gifts. And God's word and his sacraments are certainly most important because they do deliver Jesus Christ into us. They do forgive our sins and they do give us eternal life. And that's most important. But Jesus himself repeatedly spoke about the importance of gifts for the body in this life and how our Heavenly Father lavishes us with gifts to support the body and our life and his kingdom on this earth. This is why Jesus does teach us to pray for daily bread. All gifts from God are good. All gifts from God are important. All gifts from God are spiritual in nature because they're from God, not from humans. We also misunderstand and undervalue the gifts that God gives to us when we think that only pastors or DCEs or professional church workers have spiritual gifts while the rest of the congregation has non-spiritual gifts or not as important gifts. We hear from 1 Corinthians 12 today. Paul taught on this a couple of times in his epistles. And he does mention spiritual gifts exhibited by pastors and other church workers specifically. He mentions the gift of prophecy. And when he says prophecy, he's not talking about foretelling the future. He's talking about the public reading and preaching on the Word of God, which is, yes, the pastoral office and other teaching offices in the church. He mentions speaking and translating languages, which often is exhibited by pastors or church workers, or teaching the Word of God in knowledge and wisdom, which is often exhibited by pastors and other church workers. But then Paul makes an analogy of the church as a body with many parts to show that all Christians are endowed with different gifts, spiritual gifts, all from the same Spirit, all from the same Lord, St. Paul says. They're all important gifts. One body, many parts. Each part endowed with different spiritual gifts. Paul even itemizes helping other people and the gift of administration as two unique gifts given to non-church workers. The giving of spiritual gifts from God to non-pastoral types was even true in the Old Testament, as we see in our Old Testament lesson today. As God reveals to Moses, the prophet of God, the man of God, that he has filled Aholiab and Bezalel with his spirit. And why does God tell Moses he has given these two guys his spirit? Not so they too can be prophets or priests like his brother Aaron, but so that they would have knowledge of craftsmanship, stone cutting, woodworking, metalworking, embroidery. And why would God give his spirit for these gifts? So they could serve in his kingdom. They would help construct the tabernacle, the place for worship. These gifts were gifts inspired by, filled by God's Holy Spirit. They were certainly spiritual, different from the spiritual gifts that Moses and Aaron received from God, but they were all the more spiritual. They were from God, from his Spirit, and they were important in service for God's kingdom on earth. Martin Luther considered this topic as well in a whole different context. He considered the mundane, regular tasks of life to be of the highest importance given to any human as long as they were done in faith and in service to other people. Now, you tell me, Luther writes, when a father goes ahead and washes diapers or performs some other task for his child, and someone ridicules him as an effeminate fool, though that father is acting in Christian faith, my dear fellow, you tell me which of the two is most keenly ridiculing the other. God, with all his angels and creatures, is smiling, not because that father is washing diapers, but because he's doing so in Christian faith. And those who sneer at him and see only the task, but not the faith, they are ridiculing God with all his creatures as the biggest fool on earth. Indeed, they are only ridiculing themselves. With all their cleverness, they are nothing but devil's fools. In other words, what makes a spiritual gift spiritual is not that it exclusively delivers God's grace, nor that you have to be a pastor or a professional church worker to possess the spiritual gift. What makes a spiritual gift spiritual is where, or better said, from whom it comes from, and for what purpose it is used. If it's from God, and if it's used to serve others in faith in Jesus Christ, then it is most certainly a spiritual gift. So back to the question of the morning. What is your spiritual gift or gifts? How has God given you talents? How has he endowed you for service in his kingdom? His kingdom here, maybe on the property of the church, or out in your community or your home or your family. And why is this such a big, important question for us to consider today? Well, the primary purpose of pondering our spiritual giftedness is not so we can feel good about ourselves, about our talents. That's not the reason we ponder it. Nor is it so we can become more successful human beings, or a more successful church in our own eyes. Nor is it to place guilt on someone who may have guilt for not using the talents God has given them. Rather, it is simply to ponder so that God can continue or begin to use the gifts he's given us for the sake of others in his kingdom. It's all about God working in us and through us for others. And the good news is that we are not just gifted by God with talents, but we're empowered by this same God to use the talents, the gifts that he's given to us for the sake of others. How are we empowered? We're empowered by the same gospel that forgives our sins, that atones for our sins, and gives us eternal life. Paul makes this point in Philippians. Look at Jesus. Not just as some good example, oh, look at Jesus, now I'm going to be like Jesus, but rather look at Jesus and what he did for you and why he did it. Jesus was the one who was perfectly gifted, right? Being God in nature. And yet he took on the form of a servant for you and for me and for the entire world. St. Paul says it like this. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. This mind is yours. You don't need to become it. It is yours in Christ Jesus. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see, because God the Father has given his greatest gift to you and me by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh to use all of his gifts, his living, his walking, his talking, his touching, his breaking, his pouring, his dying, his rising, his breathing, his commanding, his ascending, his reigning. We know that we do not need to bury our talents in fear that God is some mean, ruthless God coming back to take back what he's given to us. But we know because he's given us his greatest gift, he is a loving, merciful, abundantly giving God. That is the theme of the women's retreat, isn't it, coming up? Abundance. I have come to give you life, Jesus says, and to give it abundantly, not just in the next life, but in this life. That doesn't mean he's going to make you always healthy, wealthy, and wise, but it does mean he will give you what you need to serve in his kingdom. And we get to serve in his kingdom. Think about that. In freedom, not in guilt or shame. In the freedom he's won for us by his life, death, and resurrection. We are no longer slaves of sin, death, or the devil. We're no longer slaves to apathy, laziness, guilt, shame, or selfishness. We are free citizens of the kingdom of God, endowed with abundant grace abundant forgiveness, abundant life in this world and the next. And we are equipped with great purpose. Great purpose using the reading, writing, translating, creating, destroying, cleaning, counting, categorizing, baking, cooking, mending, jumping, throwing, flying, building, hauling, listening, talking, thinking, watching, consoling, encouraging, singing, playing, coaching, teaching, lifting, gathering, laughing, smiling, hugging, coffee, making, shoveling, snowing, all for the sake of others and to the glory of Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.